Blog Talk Radio.
We live.
We're live.
Live from Chicago and Las Vegas. You're tuned in to the show that's always on top of what's trending. It's Page One.
It's Page One.
With LeVar and Mary.
With LeVar and Mary.
Looky, looky here. Look where we're back at. What's going on, Blog Talk Radio Nation? You are tuned into Page One with LeVar and Mary for this Friday night, April 12th, 2024. I apologize ahead of time because last week we were scheduled to be with you here. And, you know, we're all honest here. We're all family. This particular platform wasn't us. We were ready to go with a show. This particular platform wasn't ready. And technical issues arose. And for, I hope it's not one night only. I hope we do it again soon. Actually, I've come up with an idea of what we may do with it. But we switched over to Twitch. And if you were able to join us over there last week, we thank you for those of you who showed up on
Twitch.
And we enjoyed speaking with you in real time during the show. Hope that you joined us over here, but we'll be back on Twitch. It sooner, I think, than you think. I would like to go back and maybe in some way tease it and maybe split the show up on some nights. Maybe we'll do, like, After Dark segments over there. So, yeah. But I welcome aboard my wonderful friend who, at the last minute, was able to technically get us on the air one way or another for our lost show, which you can only hear over on Twitch. My wonderful friend, Mary, how are you?
Good. How are you doing? It's been a week, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. How fast a week goes. How was your week?
It was, again, a week. So how fast the week goes, definitely.
Well, I will say tonight for our show, we do have a couple of topics we need to get through. An interesting potpourri because I have some topics in there that I think it's what I'm going to call the gamer's version of potpourri tonight. And then we'll take a look at what's trending. We'll do a little bit of After Dark since we weren't able to do it over here last week. Also, the Almanac coming up in a few seconds. And if we have a little bit of time, maybe some things for the Smoking Gun Files. So All of those things tonight. But, yeah, like I said, we tried to come on last week. We tried valiantly to come on. And right before showtime, stuff wasn't going too kosher, and you know, we were just about as upset as everyone.
Damn.
Yeah, so we were feeling a certain way, and we're glad that we're back here tonight, though. So, yes, we move on. So here's the most interesting thing I read this week. And I will tell you, it has been many years since I've watched, and forgive me if I get things wrong, but it's been a while since I've watched Star Wars.
Okay.
Well, there's a reason for the story why I'm going there. I'm sorry. So apparently, if you are a Star Wars fan, this will make sense to you. But Trumu, who makes chocolate milk and pink strawberry milk, it also makes two specialty milks, an orange scream in the fall and a green mint vanilla in the winter, it's about to release a third specialty milk that has diehard Star Wars fans psyched. At the recent Imperial March event in New York City, Disney, who's now the owner of the Star Wars franchise, revealed it will release Blue Milk in conjunction with True Moo. Why Blue Milk? As a Star Wars fan who has seen A New Hope, if you don't recall Blue Milk in the movie, it's there, in a subtle context. Near the beginning of the first theatrical release, Luke Skywalker drinks blue-tinged milk at the table with his aunt and uncle. For super Star Wars fans, though, you will know that. So now it's coming here. Whether you're a diehard Star Wars fan or just a casual pop culture observer, you have seen, of course, many social media memes saying, "May the Fourth be with you," which is a play on a Jedi saying, "May the Fourth be with you." May 4th is now internationally known as Star Wars Day. Those who celebrate Star Wars Day can rest assured that the Blue Milk will be on store shelves several weeks before that big day. It's actually going to be April 17th next week. And unless all the fans buy it up before May 4th, it will be around for the holiday, hopefully. So, yeah. I see the look on your face. You don't look interested in Blue Milk.
Not even in the slightest.
So, yeah. Some people might.
Hey,
the only thing that I fear on that.
And I understand that. That's great. I am not one of them people.
My fear with that is you're going to get some people who are going to buy it and then try to sell it on
mm-hmm.
eBay.
Exactly. Because that's exactly what they'll do. That's exactly what they'll do. It makes no sense whatsoever, but that's what they're going to do. And they want because other people will not buy it, and then they'll buy it off of eBay because that's the only place they can find it.
Mm-hmm. So my question, though, is that what's the shipping on that going to be? Because you got to get it to somewhere pretty quick.
Right.
And if the stuff goes sour, that's not going to be good. Who wants to buy sour milk? So I don't know how you're going to fix that and how you're going to do that.
I don't know.
Come on, you're supposed to help me out here. You're supposed to do all.
I don't have a good answer for you, unfortunately. That's why it's like I don't know how to answer you.
You're supposed to help me out here with how we're supposed to do shipping. So that way
very carefully. If I had a way of shipping stuff, then I would have already done that for some of the people that do the that have like they do beers and baking. And I would have them send me some of their baked goods. But unfortunately, I don't know how to do the shipping. So baked goods or milk in this case, probably not going to happen.
Gotcha. I understand. But yeah, please don't go buy milk. Please don't. It's not good. All I could think of is the Dave Chappelle skit for the Rick James skit. Milk's gone bad. If you know that, bonus points for you. So we go to the almanac. Today, as we said, is April 12th. April 15th is a dreaded day here in the U.S. But April 12th today, it's National Only Child Day. It is also National 412s Day. What that means, because I see the look on my friend's face over there.
Yeah.
It holds, it says, significance in several ways. We measure our days in two 12-hour sets. When we buy roses, eggs, and pastries, we purchase about a dozen. How many months of the year? 12. Of course, math lovers appreciate 12 because it has a perfect number of divisors. Sports fans remember all great athletes in every sport who won that number. And also, and football fans wear the number to represent themselves as the 12th member of their favorite team. So, yes, that is why the number 12.
Got it.
National Colorado Day is actually today. It's National Donate Life Blue and Green Day. National Day of Silence. It's National Grilled Cheese Sandwich Day.
Grilled cheese sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
At least it's not cheese and toast. Grilled cheese is a different thing. Heads up on that one.
Yes. Now, I know you also probably have yours with tomato soup.
Yes, I do. So good.
Today is also National Licorice Day.
Ew.
Not a fan?
Not a fan. Well, let's back up. Do you consider licorice only the black licorice? Or do you consider, like, the red licorice that, you know, is not actually licorice as well?
I am not colorblind. I consider all licorice is licorice. I'm
okay,
not a licorice.
Well, then I am not, I'm not a fan of the dark licorice. How's
what?
That? Yeah, I don't like black licorice.
You're a licorice.
I'm colorist when it comes to licorice.
That's,
yes.
That's licorism.
Yes, I am. That was awful. That was just awful.
No, I get it. Plus, it's not healthy. I think there was a story of a person who, like, ate a lot of it and was told not to, and they got sick, and I think it killed them. If not, it didn't. I am just a Twizzlers fan, and that, to me, is my licorice, and that's as far as it goes.
Yeah, that's I like Twizzlers and Red Vines, but that's it.
I'm not a fan of Red Vines.
Really?
I don't like the
that's
aftertaste.
Surprising.
I tried.
That is surprising.
Though
I
still say
I'm
all these years later.
It?
Huh?
I said I don't know if I'm upset with it or not. I'll have to get back to you on that one.
It's just the aftertaste of it. But I still say to this day, though, Red Vine missed a good advertising opportunity because they should have used the EB40 song Red Red Wine and said Red Red Vine. I still think they should do that.
Okay.
You'd like
I just smacked my head. I okay.
Red, red wine. And then you have somebody eating it. Yeah. It writes itself.
It writes itself. Okay.
If you use that red vine, I am owed some money. I don't want your food. Just don't give me some money.
Yeah.
It's also National Big Wind Day. Tomorrow, it is National Borinqueners Day. What does
that mean?
Yes. It recognizes the sacrifices of the Puerto Rican regiment of the Volunteer Infantry. Today, the regiment is designated the 65th Infantry Regiment of the United States Army.
Oh.
So, yes, that is tomorrow. Also tomorrow, it is National Make Lunch Count Day. So make it count.
That means make lunch count. Doesn't lunch count every day?
Some people don't eat lunch. Some people just eat breakfast and they might not eat lunch. Actually, according to a recent study commissioned by TGI Fridays, the majority of U.S. workers suffer from FOLO, otherwise known as fear of lunching out. Many workers eat lunch at their desk at least twice a week, while one-third have lunch at their desk every day of the week. Don't fear of lunching out any longer. But it says taking a break from the workday improves productivity, including taking a lunch break. Our brains and bodies need the break. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's what's up with that. Also, National Peach Cobbler Day is tomorrow. I love peach cobbler. If anyone out there makes a good peach cobbler,
I was waiting for it. I was waiting for it. I'm like, come on, you got to have to say something because I know you always are looking for
what?
A good peach cobbler.
Oh, Love peach cobbler. Oh, man. And sometimes, too, when it's just right and with some ice cream, some vanilla ice cream. Yes.
And thank you.
Yes. It is also National Thomas Jefferson Day tomorrow. National Scrabble Day is tomorrow. Are you a Scrabble fan?
I'm a fan. I don't do well because I can't spell.
S-P-E-L-L.
Not well.
No. Oh, yeah. National...
It's like I have nowhere to go with that. Thank you.
Yeah. Sunday is National Gardening Day. I do know a few green thumbs out there who love gardening, and it's on Sunday. So if you like that, you can do that. National Dolphin Day. It's also National Look Up at the Sky Day on April 14th, which you should not have been doing during the eclipse. Hopefully you did not.
I was on the path of totality, so I didn't have to worry about that.
I'll get back to that in just a second. Look Up at the Sky Day, National Pecan Day, National Ex-Spouse Day is April 14th. I think we talked about that before. National Pan American Day, National Reach As High As You Can Day. All of those are on April 14th. Let me tell you, this past week with the solar eclipse, you knew it was coming. And so immediately, this from Fox News, immediately after Monday's solar eclipse, the number of people searching Google for eye-related injuries jumped. While one doctor in New York City says she treated a surge of patients with eye pain. The Dr. Jeanette Neuzalt, who is a New York City-based double board certified doctor, told Fox News Digital, she says, I had several patients coming in panicking, saying, I don't want to go blind. I couldn't believe it. People actually looked at the eclipse without protection. Doctors and eye specialists have been warning the public for days not to look directly at the sun, but some apparently did not heed that advice. And, of course, looking at the sun without protective equipment, such as a solar eclipse, can harm vision and it can lead to serious and permanent damage. They say that it can also burn the retina and damage the macula, the part of the retina at the back of the eye that is responsible for central vision. Google searches for hurt eyes and why do my eyes hurt after the eclipse rose after the moon and sun aligned on Monday.
Oh, God. People!
And I kid you not, in terms of national figures, a CDC spokesperson said that the National Center for Health Statistics does not have any data on eye damage following the eclipse. So, yep. One said they looked directly through their phone for 10 minutes.
I want to be upset, but then I also understand that, you know what? People are dumb. So I include myself in this, but people are dumb. I still wouldn't look at the sun with directly at the sun with no protection, but people are dumb.
Mm-hmm. April 15th, which is Monday, it is Purple Up Day. It is also National Laundry Day.
Okay.
Yep. National Glazed Spiral Ham Day. It is National Rubber Eraser Day.
Okay.
It is National Take a Wild Guess Day.
Take a wild guess.
So, I would not do that, though, if you happen to get pulled over by a cop. Don't do that. It is National Titanic Remembrance Day, National Tax Day. The 16th, on Tuesday, it's National Bean Counter Day, National Orchid Day. National Healthcare Decisions Day. April 16th is also National Eggs Benedict Day, and it's National Wear Your Pajamas to Work Day.
Not going to happen, but okay.
National Banana Day is also on that day. The 17th is National Crawfish Day, National Cheese Ball Day, National Ellis Island Family History Day, and it's National Haiku Poetry Day.
Interesting.
April 18th is National Exercise Day, Getting to Know Your Customers Day, National Education and Sharing Day. It's National Animal Crackers Day on April 18th.
Animal crackers in my soup. Sorry.
It's National High Five Day. Which you probably get. Yeah, high five. National Poem in Your Pocket Day is on that day. National Columnist Day. National Lineman Appreciation Day. And then next Friday, to give you a heads up, it's National Clean Out Your Medicine Cabinet Day, National North Dakota Day, National Garlic Day, it's National Oklahoma City Bombing Commemoration Day, National Hanging Out Day, and then it is National Amaretto Day on that day. A good amaretto sour?
Amaretto sours.
It's good for all. So, yes. So, no, you go ahead and you can do that. So a lot of that coming up here within the next week. So I kind of like that. It's pretty cool. And then, you know, I figured out one thing is that today there is a lot of stuff that occurred on this day as far as, like, history-wise. So much that I probably could have fit into the show that we kind of lost within the show. But just to put it in perspective, on this day, April 12th, I mean, on this exact day, in history, you had everything from, Philadelphia's Shide Park in 1909, baseball's first steel and concrete stadium opened up. That was the first one. Also on this day, WLS here in Chicago began radio transmissions 100 years ago today. In 1926, Alfred Hitchcock released his first film as a director, The Pleasure Garden. It was a silent drama. It was made in Germany. Also on this day, there was the movie Grand Hotel that starred Greta Garbo and John Barrymore. That's the one that included the infamous line, "I want to be alone." It won Best Picture in 1932. And then also on this day, the Chicago Blackhawks beat the Toronto Maple Leafs in the Stanley Cup Final. They are the only team to win the Cup with a losing regular season record. At that time, go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
U.S. President Franklin D. Roosevelt died in office. Harry Truman was sworn in on this day. Also on this day, Bill Haley and the Comets recorded Rock Around the Clock, 1954. Some point to that is probably like the first true rock and roll song. Also on that same day, Joe Turner released Shake, Rattle, and Roll. The polio vaccine in 1955 on this date was tested by Jonas Salk. They announced it to be safe and effective. And then also on this day, the Chicago White Sox debuted their exploding scoreboard at Chicago's Comiskey Park. Yes. Oh, the Beatles' third single, For Me to You, was released on this day. The first regular MLB game at the Houston Astrodome happened. Simon and Garfunkel releases Boxer. Also on this day, Anne Rice's debut novel, Interview with a Vampire, is published. 1976. And the Australian film Mad Max, starring Mel Gibson, released on this day in 1979. Harold Washington was elected first black mayor of the city of Chicago in 83. And I think that's it. There's a lot of stuff to happen on this day, but it was so much. But, yeah, that's all on this day, April 12th. So, there you go. But I wanted to kind of get to the first topic tonight, because I was kind of surprised at the response that kind of happened from it. Let me tell you the story. So this past week, if you are a personal social media, and I was looking, and this is the only reason this story gets to probably open up the show. But Aoki Lee Simmons, who is the daughter of Russell Simmons and Kimora Lee, she was online, and I think she was over on Instagram. And she had posted some things on her vacation to St. Bart's with a man. and pretty much about a week after she and this gentleman, who was later described as Vittorio Asaf, were photographed during a PDA field trip to the Caribbean island, they called it quits. And the reason a lot of people were up in arms was because Vittorio Asaf is 65, Aoki is 21. And he even has a daughter her age as well. News of their breakup came days after they first sparked romance rumors when photos show both them kissing and getting cozy by the water. She, at that point, like we said, went online. And immediately afterwards, people went to look for response from her mom, Kimora Lee Simmons, and her dad, Russell Simmons, both of whom have divorced. And Russell Simmons seemingly addressed speculation over the photos in a cryptic note. Well, at that time, I guess she got called. And she pretty much the following day had said, well, now I know why my folks are calling me. She also shared a series of her own memories from the vacation to social media, though none included her partner from the sunny excursion afterwards. And her dad was a little bit nonchalant about the response. He says, I'm not going to kick and scream about her choices. All I could do is offer my advice and unconditional love. And a lot of people were kind of a little disappointed in the way that that response came from dad. And so I was more shocked at the people online who, I think we're in different times now. If this had happened probably 20, 30 years ago, a lot of people would have been up in arms over the relationship of a 65-year-old, a 21-year-old.
Right.
But surprisingly, on social media, a lot of people were pro the relationship and were saying that, hey, she's 21. What she chooses to do in her relationship, no matter how old the person is none of our business, and so on and so forth. And surprisingly, a high number of people felt that way and pretty much shrugged it off and said, hey, it's her relationship, none of our business. Now, I've talked to different people about this story throughout the week, and some other people saw it a little differently. Some saying that they definitely would not have been happy if their child came home with somebody almost three times older than they were, or even had a child their age. So I will leave the question to you tonight, is that if your child was dating a 65-year-old, what would your response be? Would you be okay with it or not okay with it?
Okay, so my initial reaction would be no, I wouldn't be okay with it because, ew, that is my kid dating somebody the age of my father. I mean, let's just be honest. That's exactly what it would be. I don't know that I would be even remotely okay with it at first. However, it really doesn't matter what I say or do if that's something she chooses to embark in. I hate to be that stickler because I'm not dating somebody that's my age, but granted, it's not that big of an age gap. So I don't know, I don't know how I would really react other than I don't think that I would really like it at all, to be honest. Like, that would be my first reaction, would be like, that's not okay.
You almost sounded like there was a butt coming in there.
I just, yeah, I, not okay is what would go through my brain.
But would you then tell your child that they had to end the relationship, though?
No, because I can't. That's not my place. I'm not the person that's in there. I can absolutely voice that I don't like it and that it's going to take a while for me to be convinced that it's an okay thing. I've seen age gaps where it works. I've seen age gaps where it doesn't. So, and that's in my personal life. I'm not even talking about, like, okay, I'm trying to think of one in Hollywood. Catherine Zeta-Jones and Michael Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty big age gap. Not that big, but still pretty big. What's his name? Dick Van Dyke and his wife. I think she's 30 years younger or more. I don't know. And they're doing well. So, I mean, it can happen.
But he didn't marry her when she was 21.
Right.
He kind of saw her later on. I don't think it's going to really matter later on.
Dick Van Dyke met her when she was like 30-something.
But even then, she wasn't 21.
Right. But that's where I'm getting it. It's going to take a lot to convince me that it's going to work. And I will voice that I don't like it. But I cannot tell them to stop it. Especially since both people are consenting adults. Now, if she was 17 and he was 60, what is that, one? And that's no, hell no. Get the F out of my house. Aw, hell, I will go ghetto. I will turn into my Asian mother with a knife. I mean, like, no, that's a big fat N-O. But as a consenting adult, I can't say anything about it.
If she was 18 and he was, you know, 62 or 61, would you have an issue?
Yeah. Yes.
So
yes, I would have an issue.
She's, quote, 21, quote, a legal adult, and he is just a few years older. We're okay with that.
I don't know about okay. No, I'm not okay. But I'm also not going to sit here and be like, you have to not date him. I can't pull the you can't date him card. I can't pull the if you're living in my house, you don't get to see him. That card I can pull, absolutely.
Gotcha.
How about you? If you had a child that age?
I would not be very happy about it. I would probably voice my disapproval.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I think where it's kind of like what you're trying to say is that you get into a sticky situation because once they get to a certain age, because they're, quote, an adult, you kind of have to walk a fine line. I was just more surprised at men and women who were accepting of it and kind of just like, leave her alone, let her be. You didn't really see that many disapproved people, but like I said, you know, I think even if she was a year or two younger and he was a year or two younger, I mean, think about it, 65, 21. If she was 19 and he was 63, I think we'd feel a lot different about this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
If she was just turning 18, you know, and he was, you know, about 61, 62, we'd really feel some way about it. So,
oh yeah,
I don't know where, you know, like I said, it would be different if she was 30 and he was 65 because she's older, you know, but 21, it almost still kind of see, I don't know. If we're accepting of that at 21, then, you know, at a legal age, then what else are we accepted of at 21? Because if you're accepting of that, And you can't get on a 21-year-old for other different things that they do. You know? You can't get on them for going into adult entertainment. You can't get on them for going into, you know, or stripping down or doing anything else, because there's pretty much an adult thing that they're doing. Like I said, personally, for me, because they're 21, you can't tell them, no, you got to live here and under my roof, you can't date them. Can't do that. But as a parent, she definitely would be getting some calls and, like, I'm not going to be welcoming and can't bring them over here for Sunday dinner.
Right.
So, you know what? If that's your relationship, you're going to have to live with it. But I'm not going to be a part of it. Sorry. I love you. You can come over. I can see you. But it's just something about the fact that he has a child her age. Yeah. like I said, it would be like if I tomorrow said I was dating an 18 or 21-year-old, you'd probably judge me and look at me differently.
Yes. But, yeah. I mean, yeah, sorry, I would.
Yeah, you would. I'd say, hey, here's my girlfriend. She's 21. She's just graduated from college. Yeah, you'd look at me a little bit differently. And I'm not even 65.
Right?
So, yeah. I don't know. But just wanted to bring that one up, because I thought it was interesting of how, you know, we've changed as a society in terms of what we deem kind of like unacceptable. But I know for a fact, 30 years ago, even if it was a man or a woman, reversed of the story, and you can sit here and talk about sharing her boyfriend, I was like, that's a little bit different, because he's about, what, late 20s, early
30s? Yeah.
So I was like, it's not like Cher's dating a 19 or 20-year-old. Even then, I would say how wrong that was. I'd be like, nah, Cher, nah, don't do that. So
please stop.
Yes. It would not be good, and we definitely would kind of judge you. So
stop it. Get some help.
Yeah. That's what we'd be doing. Retro Moment of the Week time is coming up. Here's the thing. Last week I had a retro moment. Unfortunately, you guys missed it. If you were listening over.
Or you heard it four times.
Yes. So you heard it quite a few times. So we're not going to do that one. So pretty much retro moment time tonight. We're just going to pull from the archives here. I do know that one of them is for a person that we lost pretty much 2 years ago today. So we'll have a commercial from them. And then who knows what else? We'll just pull something, hope you like it, and we'll take it from there. But you're listening to Page One with Laura Mary on this Friday night. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be right back after this.
Went into a 7-Eleven. I said, here's $75. Can I have some cough syrup? They said, for $75, we can't give you the whole bottle. Just open your mouth. We'll pour some in. Hey, these aren't 7-Eleven prices. These are reasonable. They tell me 7-Eleven has these fair prices every day. Don't tell me every day. I got it the first time.
7-Eleven. So many changes, it's not even funny.
Fair prices. Not fair as it is, but fair as it could.
I found a summertime drink that tastes good and is good for my kids.
Got it, Choco Chew?
Nestle Choco Chew. You make it with water like other powdered soft drinks. But Choco Chew is rich and...
Chocolatey
enough to serve on ice. They get the goodness of 1/2 cup of skim milk in every 8-ounce glass.
It's good.
You don't know how good. Nestle Choco Chew drink mix. It's chocolatey good.
And cold.
You're listening to Page One.
Page One.
With LeVar and Mary. your source for all the current topics and news you need to know. Here's LeVar and Mary.
Welcome back to Page One of this Friday night, April 12th. Of course, that was a 7-Eleven commercial with Gilbert Gottfried. We lost Gilbert Gottfried 2 years ago today. How fast time goes.
Right?
It seems like it's just last year, 2022. Speaking of loss, and no, I'm not going to talk about OJ. Man, Twitter is definitely MVP on that one, right?
Right.
Two passings of note today. Fashion designer Roberto Cavalli passed away at the age of 83. His news of his death was announced by the Italian news agency ANSA that said that he had succumbed to an illness at his home in Florence, Italy. And of course, if you are a fashion plate maven, you know the name. And he burst onto the fashion scene in St. Tropez, where he found devoted fans and actors like Brigitte Bardot and Sophia Loren, and he gained popularity for his penchant for prints, which was seen in his first namesake collection in the 70s. And so they say he never met an animal print that he did not like. So, yes, Roberto Cavalli passing away. And then another one of note for those of you who are young journalists or familiar with news, Robert McNeil, the founding anchor of a show that became the PBS NewsHour, passed away at the age of 93 today, dying of natural causes in New York. Robert McNeil, his career goes back to... Wow, far, far back. But one of the things about Robert McNeil, if you remember him, the McNeil Lehrer NewsHour, is that he was on that fateful day in Dallas when President Kennedy was assassinated. It was Robert McNeil who he was sitting in a press bus in Dallas when shots rang out during President Kennedy's visit. And he charged off the bus and followed police, then searched for a phone to call his editor, eventually entering the Texas School Book Depository, the same building where Lee Harvey Oswald had shot Kennedy, and he possibly passed him. And he later told the Canadian press in 2013, he said, I didn't register his face because I was obsessed with finding a phone. It occurred to me I was just going in just about the time Oswald had been going out. And if you see the NBC coverage from that day, it was Robert McNeil who had called in confirming the death of the president. So, you know, each and every day we seem to lose more and more people connected with that day in Dallas. But Robert McNeil, long-time PBS newsman passing away today. So kind of sad to hear. So I wanted to kind of go to this other story tonight because I don't really watch too many streamers. I don't really watch too many people. But I saw a video online, and then I figured sooner or later there was going to be some type of article about it. So a young Kick streamer known as Kizzy has gained notoriety online after filming himself harassing members of the public. The 14-year-old first came to most people's attention after appearing as a guest on the live stream of controversial content creator, forgive me if I get names wrong because I don't know you, Ragnish Neon, and the pair became involved in an altercation on March 14th. And during that altercation, Kizzy threatened Neon and his girlfriend Sam Frank. He said, "Shut the F up, I'll beat the blank out of you and your fat girlfriend. That fat blank, I'll smack in her face too, blank." When Neon hit back by saying that he doxed him and his family and suggested he didn't know his name. Kizzy responded with a few more things. And as a result of the altercation and Neon then threatening Kizzy with sexual assault and doxing, Kizzy's Kick account was suspended. However, before the ban, he had been streaming his on his own channel, harassing members of the public. One clip showed his fighting random people on the street, and it was uploaded by a streamer, Jake Lucky, who wrote, "Might be time to raise the streaming age." Another showed his touching people's food before being confronted by a diner he had stolen food from. And his behavior has been criticized by popular streamer Charlie Most Critical, who said that this young whippersnapper can't be older than 11 years old, and he's already becoming a scourge. He's trying to do what all the other public nuisance streamers do by just being a societal hemorrhoid. He still has his baby teeth. He hasn't even gotten his health teeth yet. He's already doing this flight. He's just trying to get that clout for being a piece of flight. Now it's been reported that Izzy has had his account banned due to his behavior. People call for him to be banned permanently for his behavior, while others call on the minimum streaming age to be raised. We have talked about loosely in the past about younger people in social media not so long ago. It seems like it was just about a month or two ago. We didn't really throw in the young streamers and the issues that could arise. I guess, first of all, does this kind of set back young streamers being online? And two, due to actions like that, and of course, you know, there could be potential copycats, people who want to be like that or people who look for the controversial factor. Do you think that they should raise the age of streamers to social media sites?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. good job on pronunciation on most of those streamers. I applaud you. I did see Charlie's YouTube video when he was talking about the Kick streamer and the his search for clout. People get views for doing negative things, and there's a lot of – I would love to raise the age for streaming and the age for being able to have a YouTube channel and all of that if I could. The problem that we come up against, unfortunately, is that it doesn't matter if the age is raised, people are still doing stupid crap, and other people are watching it because they want to get the drama in their lives somehow, or they like watching the drama, or they like being the person that's like, oh, my God, look at this. So there's a societal shift that needs to happen that I don't think is forthcoming anytime soon. So yes, I'd love to raise the age, but that's not going to solve the problem.
I saw the video and I was like, what was the point of all of that? Just to be a public nuisance. It angered me.
To get views. Just to get views. To get views.
I don't know why. Because here's the thing. Just like the story I'm about to talk about here momentarily after this, coming up in the potpourri segment, with what young people do. And it's not, you know, like I said, a continuing hammering down on young people. But my God, man, we do some stupid stuff. And it is stuff like that where it just so happened on that particular day, he ran across the right person, because I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm going to come from you from a Chicago standpoint. He knew what he was doing, where he was doing it. If he had pulled something like that anywhere else and with somebody else, he may not be streaming right now from his hospital bed. Or somewhere else. So I don't know why we think that doing stuff like that is going to get us fucked. Because, like, what does it make you? It makes you more of a jerk. And he could have gotten himself or his people that were around him hurt or killed. There's no, and I know nowadays they say, well, Lamar, that's extreme that you say that. That's just the society we're living in now. I mean, let's face it. How many people, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it, how often do you see where something ends up violently? A lot more than what it used to. And stuff like that, no matter how small or petty you may think it will be, could set somebody off. And then he'll be sitting there begging for his life like a three-year-old. So I don't understand how being a jerk gets you more streams. If anything, I hope that people, when it comes to people who do things like that, and I'm not going to, you know, say him, but I hope that anybody who does stuff like that to get likes, no one watches that crap. It's a waste of time, and it accomplishes nothing. Don't even give them the time of day. As a matter of fact, I hope sites like that get, like, the only views it would be from him and maybe his mama, if she watches it. And hopefully it's to see what he's doing so that she can stick a foot up his behind. But stuff like that, it's trash. And I was like, it's not even worth being. You know, the Internet originally a long time ago, when it first really got its bearings, was for purposes to informative and other things. And as we go further along, man, is there a lot of trash that has to be cleaned up off the Internet, off of social media, because of people who want to waste our times with stupid stuff. And I've talked to a lot of people, and it's not, oh, you're just old, you're just being, you know, a grandpa about it. No, man, you're wasting everybody's time. I've seen 30 seconds of clips where you go into it thinking that it's going to be something good, and then all you're wondering about is, man, that's 30 seconds less off my life that I could have used. That's one of them.
Correct.
Even when I watched that video to see what it was all about, I was hoping that somebody would come up for that lady's defense and pretty much ragdoll him around and scare him so badly that he was going to be apologetic. And I normally don't even feel that way about, you know, something against a kid. That's what he still is, a kid. I'm hoping that these lessons here teach him one, and that the more and more places he finds that he doesn't have a voice, the more he will come back with something a little bit more constructive. Go to Twitch. Go play video games. Do something over there. Just do something constructive. That stuff, Internet doesn't need it. That's just me. So, anyway, I digress. But that's what that story is about. Tonight, I wanted to take a quick look here at what is trending. There is a lot of stuff going on. Of course, we are a few days post-WrestleMania. One of the things that is trending tonight is SmackDown, because it's Friday night, and a lot of major things coming out of that show tonight. Not going to give it away. And I'm just seeing now, Angel Hernandez is trending. If you watch baseball, the name Angel Hernandez is very familiar because he is an umpire that is horrible. If you go to Twitter and you see the strike three call that he made on a pitch, as somebody said, MLB seriously has to fire this guy. Angel Hernandez just called strike three on a pitch that was in Narnia.
Oh, no.
It was that bad, and I'm watching it right now as we're talking. And, yes, Angel Hernandez, I don't know. If you want to talk about how people still keep their jobs, I think he is one of them. Also trending tonight is Sabrina, as in Sabrina Carpenter, who is performing on the main stage at Coachella as that is beginning. Sabrina Carpenter, they're saying, may already have the song of the summer. I think she has a new song out. I'll have to hear it. Haven't heard it yet. But she is trending, as a lot of people were curious to watch her perform. And then, of course, like you said earlier, O.J. Simpson was trending. He passed away the other day, or yesterday. That's where I'll leave it. I've never seen probably a more, I don't know how to put it. Like, people who weren't, some people were very respectful, you know, when a person dies. I don't even think it was probably less than 30 minutes, not even 10, after it was announced, where Twitter came alive with a lot of negative stuff. it's very funky. And so they said, now with OJ gone, and I know earlier they were saying who's the most reviled person walking the planet right now. I think there was two or three people who were bitching. I'll leave that up to you as to your guesses. It's not me saying it. It's the social media saying it. I kind of agree with their list. I am also seeing tonight for all of my friends who are in Chicago, who are at Exotica, and it's still happening right now as we speak. Hello to all of you. I wish I was there tonight. This would have been a night I would not have been here. opening night of Exotica here in Chicago, which kicks off their season of traveling to different cities. So I wish I was there, but unfortunately can't be. So, yeah. So that's all the things that are trending tonight. Unless you've got something.
No, nothing that you haven't already mentioned.
Not a, it's been a quiet week. I want to share a story here from Chicago, and it's happening across the country. Kind of one of the first things that you see from this. This from Illinois, from Itasca. I'm not going to say it's from Chicago, because it's not from Chicago. Itasca is a little bit further on the way. But, a rollover accident in Itasca was recently caused by two students who were actively participating in the Senior Assassins game, according to police. Police said that the two students were playing the game involving squirt guns when one vehicle lost control and rolled onto its side. No one was seriously injured in the accident, and all parties were cited appropriately for their actions, according to police. The game's gained popularity among high school students. It involves a formation of teams, with participants eliminating opposing players by, quote, tagging them with water guns. Students told WGN News here in Chicago that the competition is getting out of hand. One said, if you're playing the game, you should be smart about it and not get yourself involved in trouble, but some people are taking it so far. And according to police, incidents associated with the game have been occurring nationwide, most recently here in Gurnee, Illinois, after a concealed carry holder mistook the Senior Assassins game for an actual threat. Schaumburg, Illinois police said that the incident at a parking garage this week where teens used water guns that looked all too realistic prompted a large police response. Many local agencies reminded those playing the game that participation could result in criminal charges. I know we have fads. I'm trying to remember whatever happened to the Pokemon Go where you were using your phone and walking through Walmart. I'd much rather that than probably
this. Right.
Because something's going to happen where a concealed carry holder or somebody else is going to mistake them, especially using, like, they aren't using super soakers. They're using realistic type water guns. And somebody's going to get shot and hurt and or killed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Once again, stupidity, because no one's thinking about it. We're already a society that's uptight about gun violence.
At least in the U.S.
Yeah. And so here we are again with people who aren't thinking, who could potentially get themselves caught up in something that they are not going to want to get caught up in.
Right.
Your thoughts on this game, if it's something that we should all be like, oh, it's kids will be kids, or...
No. No, kids will be kids, no. I'm sorry. Okay. Old lady, crazy old lady warning, trigger warning for anyone, because I'm going to start. Y'all dumb. This is to the seniors that are doing their assassin thing. Y'all dumb. Keep it on the freaking school ground, and then nobody's going to get hurt like this. This is reminiscent of you guys doing the Tide Pod Challenge. Where are your brains? Like, who thought this was a good idea? And who is the person that went, hey, maybe we should think about using, instead of realistic water guns, let's use super soakers so that when we're running around and doing this, or like Nerf guns would have been fine. They're hot orange or pink or neon green. Like, I understand trying to play soldier. I really do. And I remember, like, kids when I was growing up, like my age, your age, playing like pop guns and hiding in bushes and spy games and that kind of thing. I mean, I did. But we kept it in the neighborhood. And we all knew that if we did something stupid in front of an adult, they were gonna pop us one. It takes one kid. It takes one person. It takes one 17, 18-year-old getting shot by somebody being dumb. And having everybody go all up in arms about this guy that accidentally shoots a kid because the kid has a water gun. Well, it's a water gun. Did it look like a water gun? Did it flip and look like a water gun? Is he one of the Tide Pod kids? Like, grr, it makes me upset. And kids being kids, that's one thing. This is not kids being kids. This is kids being stupid. Like, use your brain. If you are supposed to be a senior heading out into the world and becoming a functioning member of society... And I'm not saying that you have to be working in corporate or going to college or going in the military or doing whatever. You're a functioning member of society and not living off of, you know, mommy and daddy's paycheck and running around shooting realistic water guns. This is our future, people. Our future are Tide Pod kids and senior assassins with water guns. We are going downhill fast. And I don't like it. I'm not saying all kids are like this.
If you asked them to join RLTC at their local school, they probably wouldn't.
Oh, God, they wouldn't. Oh, God, no. Oh, guns are bad. War is bad. Yeah, but yet you want to shoot a water gun at a girl over on the, you know, because she's part of the other team, and she's standing next to her dad, who is a concealed carry cop with PTSD. Not that every cop has PTSD, but you know what I'm saying. It takes one. It just takes one to F it up. And these guys are, like, going out in teams to try and F it up. Not even just the one kid. You know? If they're going out in teams. These are the people that are going to be taking care of me when I'm too old and senile to, like, to be able to change my own adult diaper. And I don't know that I like that.
You don't like it. I know I don't like it.
And I'm not saying every kid's like that. Every generation has them, I'm sure. I'm sure our generation had a bunch of kids that were like that too. And it's just that now there's, you know, social media where you can actually witness it. So it's more widespread. It's like our intelligence has gone down. Our gene pool has shallowed.
Mm-hmm. Well, the next story here is a public service for all of you older folks out there. But according to an article here, Gen Z may be secretly dissing you. They may be talking back about you behind your back or right to your face. But you'd be none the wiser as the slang snappy generation has adapted lingo only found in video games into their ever-expanding lexicon. In a TikTok video with 1.5 million views, Harvard-educated linguistics expert Adam Alexic likened the rise of gaming terms to that of commonly used sports metaphors like swing and a miss or coming out of left field or words that originated from chess centuries ago like check or pawn. Now we're in a whole new ballgame of people having a shared cultural knowledge of video games, so we started drawing on that as a way to express our reality, according to him. He is otherwise known as the entomology nerd. And studies show that societies constantly or consistently create metaphors out of shared traditions because that's how people best understand each other. While video game-derived words like NPC or side quest might be used in a mostly ironic way nowadays, the seemingly silly slang could take on a more serious connotation in the future, he added. So you better brush up on some new additions to the unofficial Gen Z dictionary. NPC. As we said, an abbreviation for non-player character, NPC refers to any virtual character that is not controlled or manipulated by a player and is instead a static, pre-programmed fixture in a game. Outside of the screen, when the term NPC is used as a descriptor, it's an insult to mean someone who is boring or lacks independent thinking, blindly following an ideology without question. And side quest, in a video game, a side quest is an additional undertaking that is an offshoot of the main storyline. In real life, it might refer to additional hobbies or other tasks that are not related to a person's primary occupation or already established interests. This could mean a person has taken a liking to new extracurriculars that are unexpected or uncharacteristic. Nerf, it says 90s and early aughts kids will remember Nerf blasters and the raucous chaos that ensued during a living room standoff as foam pellets volleyed through the air. To be nerfed then means to be reduced in effectiveness. It's meaning adapted for online gaming and subsequently into real life. In games like Fortnite, players drop onto a specific place on the virtual map. The query, where are we dropping, refers to team strategizing about where to land a better chance at success. In real life, it refers to asking what the plans are or what you're doing. Viewers of Lexic's viral video offer up their own game-inspired slang like low on HP or health points to describe being tired or lore to refer to the backstory of someone. And if this Gen Z lingo is perplexing, just wait until you hear about YAT, Z-Y-A-T-T, I-J-B-O-L, or Minty B, which are just a fraction of the ever-growing of colloquialisms that are beloved by the internet-savvy generation, but annoy their elder colleagues. Do you feel that you're up to date on gamer slang that could be used against you?
I mean, I'm not necessarily completely up to date, but I have. I feel that I'm on the upper end of average. So, of the Gen Xers that are out there, I believe I'm on the top end of understanding. Let's do it that way. I don't know that I know all of it, but I do have a deep repertoire. I can be the bridge. I can do translations. It's kind of fun.
I'm proud of you.
Or are you scared? Which one is it? Because then they'd be like, hey, wait, what did they say? They're like, dude, you're boring. That's what they said.
I am, yeah, I think when it goes to those things, I'll try to read it eventually, and yeah, I'll catch up on it. Also in the potpourri files here, this insane new sleeping hack that works wonders. Some have claimed that they have gotten the best sleep of their lives. Who needs an eye mask when you have a closet full of sweatshirts? As a last result to get some shut-eye, sleep-deprived TikTokers are tying sweatshirts around their heads at night. One who is a content creator said it's so comfortable, I don't know how to explain it. It got over 19 million views, by the way. Adding that she resorted to the bizarre sleep method out of desperation. What happened is that she said she got the best sleep of her life after DIYing the mummy-esque mask, which involves placing the crew neck over her eyes and around her head, leaving her nose and mouth exposed, of course, and wrapping the sleeves underneath her chin. While some people said it looked insane, and others feared that tying it themselves would result in them waking up in a suffocated panic, experts said there is a scientific reason behind the madness. In fact, it's also known as swaddling. Yeah, like an infant. And the tightly wrapped fabric creates a sense of security and comfort, according to board-certified physician Dr. Jessica Andrade. As she said, in addition to blocking out light and sound, the swaddle can calm people with anxiety as well. Additionally, the slight pressure exerted by the sweatshirt could create a cocoon-like effect similar to a weighted blanket, which has been shown to promote relaxation and improve sleep quality for some people. The method, or the sweatshirt method, may not be as secure as traditional eye mask, which uses a strap to stay securely on your head as you catch some Z's. The sleep mask is specifically manufactured to fit the face with special materials and designed to block out light. Not to mention snoozers may run the risk of suffocation or overheating with the hoodie hack with all the excess fabric around your head and face, according to the subject's matter expert. But Harris noted that looping the sleeves under the chin puts sleepers at risk of airflow restriction and could irritate your skin. In other words, it may do the opposite of relaxing you before dozing off. But just a few things in mind if you are to do it. We're not telling you to, and please don't. But make sure it isn't too tight, does it make you too hot, and does it mess with your breathing. If it feels uncomfortable or you're not getting the results you want, it's okay to skip it and try something else. Just listen to your body, she said, and do what works best for you. But they said it works. So...
No, if you're going to ask, will I try that? No. White noise works best for me, thanks.
As soon as I heard it, as soon as I saw the picture of it, I'm like, that's not safe.
No.
You know, you're cutting off.
No, I can't even sleep if I forget to take my necklace off, okay? That's a necklace, all right? Like, I get uncomfortable with that. And if that's the case, a sweatshirt around my face? Nah. No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm really okay. I understand the weighted blanket thing, though. Weighted blankets, I really want to try one. Because that, I think, would be... That, I think, I could handle.
Okay. Gotcha. This next story here was one in which only you video gamers will love this one. And forgive me if I get the name wrong, but Katsuhiro Harada is a lifelong creator of fighting games, serving as director on the Tekken series since Tekken 3 and right up to the recent Tekken 8. Harada often has a lot of interesting or helpful stuff to say on social media and is quite responsive to fans, which means people often reach out consistently with ideas, concepts, memes, and downright jokes. Recently, he has been getting one request for a new Tekken stage, especially for Tekken 8. Folks want the American Southeast 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week diner Waffle House added. and Harada said, okay, I'll only ask once about this request. Why do some communities send me requests for Waffle House? Please be sure to explain the basis for the request, including the original story, history, and background. I look forward to an explanation from someone who knows more. Why do people want Waffle House? Because the place has become something of an internet meme for its status as somewhere that's pretty dang cheap, open 24 hours, and therefore a place where drunken high people go and get into fights. Fights with each other, with employees, with themselves. As a lot of people said, you can find any number of internet fight videos set in Waffle House. That's been true for years, and as bona fide, as American, you haven't, seen a fight in Waffle House until you've seen one. But folks are asking him to add Waffle House to it.
Yes. And I'm on board with that. They need a Waffle House.
And so I'm hoping, and I think they said that they will reach out to Waffle House and see.
they don't necessarily even need to name it Waffle House. If they can't get Waffle House to be okay with it, I'm sure they could come up with some kind of other diner setting that's similar and has a similar look. And they've done it, and they did it in Fallout 4. So, like, they could do something similar.
So, yeah.
I hope they get Waffle House to say okay. I think it would be amazing.
I don't think they will, but you know what, though? I think as kind of... I know they don't want to know it as a place where fights occur.
No, but Tekken... That might be the exact thing that Waffle House needs to get people to go. And then when there's not a fight, be like, oh, well, you know, this ain't your... This isn't your Tekken Waffle House. That could be their tagline.
I'm hoping Waffle House says yes. I'm hoping.
I am too. I hope they do.
I don't think they're going to, but I think it will add a popularity more so to Waffle House than they've ever seen before. And
oh, yeah, there'll be a bump.
Yeah.
Yeah, there'll be a curiosity bump. It'll be nice for a little while, anyway.
So let's hope they do. I'm really hoping that they do. But we shall see. So here's the deal, folks. Tonight, we are going to add... you know what? Yeah. We're going to add a After Dark segment to tonight's show. I hope that you guys liked After Dark. So before we do that, what I will do is I will play a bonus retro moment of the week, and I will tell you before we even do it that the After Dark segment on this show is intended for mature audiences only. Listener discretion is advised. So if you have any young ones with you and you do not want them to hear what we have to talk about in the After Dark segment, now is a good time as any to get them out of the room or cover their heads, or not their heads, but their ears. And while we're trying to get out of one awkward moment, if you don't mind, I am going to use an old Family Guy saying and say, man, that was awkward. And that, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Conway Twitt.
I'm Conway Twitty, and I'd like to tell you something. This land's been good to me. Oh, it's good to see how some things have stood the test of time. Like folks who love their fellow man, take pride in working with their hands, pride in carrying on the family name. They expect the same. Some things should never change, like the hot cornbread that your mama made, or young folks splashing in a swimming hole, or the satisfaction that you get seeing fields you planted grow. As you end the good day with the great taste of Stroh's beer for more than 200 years. The great taste of Stroh's.
Conway Twitty for the Stroh Brewery Company, Detroit, Michigan.
Like that little, like, exit out the Conway thing that goes here. But, After Dark segment, not brought to you by anybody. I wish it was. We need,
we need a sponsor?
Yeah, we need a sponsor for After Dark. I don't know who. We just need a sponsor. I think it's
GoDaddy.
We don't have one. Anyway, so tonight's After Dark, we got a few of them. I will tell you, let's see. I kind of feel like I'm going to go with probably the simple one first. We usually talk about a lot of things with women, but this is for you fellas tonight. This article, it says the biggest mistakes men make on dating apps. and the simple way to fix it.
Don't lie.
I guess I'll ask you first before I go into the article. What do you think that they said the biggest mistake that men make?
That people lie? Start with not lying. Let's start with that. Don't exaggerate. Just keep it simple, stupid. No.
Actually, that wasn't the issue.
Wow, that's surprising.
It says here that new research has uncovered the biggest mistake that men make on dating apps, and it's expressing interest in sports. Researchers from Casino Zonder analyzed 23,000 Tinder profiles of single men and women, looking at the about me, interest, and pros and cons sections to find key differences between the sexes. The experts noticed far more men profess to be passionate about sports, something they theorized could be a turnoff for women. The fairer sex were far more likely to assert an interest in movies, music, and coffee, and were more likely to respond to a fellow who also liked such things. According to a spokesperson from Casino Zonder, they said that we found that men may need to skip some hobbies, like football, sports, and pubs, and instead indulge in more leisurely activities like travel, music, and grabbing a coffee to appeal to women. Research revealed that a staggering 23% of men expressed an interest in football or soccer compared to just 4% of women. So you say that, dudes, you're not going to score if you're worried about the score. Far more men than women also asserted that they love golf and boxing on the app. Experts from Casino Zonder said references to football, golf, and boxing may not be unique enough for men to stand out. They encourage the guys to list a hobby that allowed women to pause on their profile and give them a chance. However, there was one interest with substantial crossover, fitness or workouts. A sizable 21% of the men and 14% of women had one of those two keywords somewhere on their profile. Women may be more responsive to such words because they imply something active as opposed to passive. Men listing football, soccer, or golf could be more likely to be watching the games rather than playing them. Fitness and workout also apply to the man has discipline and routine and prioritizes his health and body image. It's also something that couples could work on together, stimulating the interest of female app users. Experts from Casino Zonder didn't suggest a man alter his entire personality just to score a swipe from a single woman, but urged him to list more unique hobbies that make them stand out, stimulate conversation, and that could possibly be a shared interest with potential paramour. Are you surprised at that?
I mean, I should say yes, but no. I mean, all right. I'm a weirdo when it comes to this stuff, so, like, I actually enjoy sports as well, but I'm that smaller percentage of women that enjoy sports that would stop and go, okay, sports team. Like, that's going to, but then somebody's going to say, oh, I watch this and this and that, and Ohio State's my favorite team. And I'd be like, thanks. It's really nice to know you. Bye. See you later. You know, just kidding. Not really, but yeah. But I get it. But then on top of that, it's like, are you, like, as women, are we really surprised that men like sports? Is that a surprise? So I get what they're saying. They're just saying, hey, saying that you like sports is kind of like, yeah, you're a dude.
Yeah.
Thumbs up. Yeah. So you're just like every other guy that I've met up until now Right. But then that doesn't make you stand out. That doesn't make you unique. That makes you just like every other cookie cutter one that has already come, gone, and hurt me. So...
I'm a man. I like sports and things.
And hunting and, yeah, go away. You're just like the last one. Bye. See you later. So I get it. I guess there's that weird in between. I get it and I don't. But so I can't. Yeah. No, I'm not surprised. But I shouldn't be.
Well, we also have the first of two interesting surveys here. The women's butt sizes from around the world was revealed. In which country has the biggest and the smallest? A new batch of data has analyzed which women by nationality and on average possess either the widest or the most narrow set of hips, an integral part of the anatomy that can sculpt the Sir Mix-a-Lot worthy behind. Now, first of all, I'm going to give you a hint. To the dismay of many patriots, the United States' average female hip size of 40.2 inches did not crack the Butts List top 10. It came in at number 11, according to market researchers at GetNew. Do you know which country was number one?
No. Because number one would be way outside of my realm. I'm on the low end of stuff, so I'm the one that brought down the U.S. average.
Stop it.
Last place, Filipinos. Any Asian country would be down in the bottom echelon. So I'm going to go with large Germans, Russians, one of those two.
No. And I know that you probably... And I know what you did, because you didn't want to actually say probably the country that you probably were going to think of.
South Africa.
Huh?
What? Go ahead.
No, you said it. You said it. What did you say?
South Africa.
That is correct. The foundation is South Africa, where ladies are strutting around with a 41.73 inch circumference of pride and joy. Argentina. Followed close behind at 41 inches, then Sweden with 40.94, Greece at 40.74, makes a little bit of sense there, Germany at 40.6, the United Kingdom, which wears an average pant size of 12 to 14, did not make the cut. they said that we've learned that hip size can vary significantly depending on factors such as age, ethnicity, and geographical location. Also on that one, elsewhere on the globe, Australia's down under number was 40.5 inches for seventh place. Canada took ninth with 40.3. France rounded out the top 10 with 40.25. South Korea was the top ranking Asian nation at 38 inches for 13th place, while India finished at the list bare bottom 16th place. With 36.1 inches. Germany was fifth. Russia, Italy tied for sixth. Australia at seven. Netherlands at eight. Canada at ninth. France at 10th. After the U.S.
I got a few in the top 10.
Yeah. After the USA, Nigeria was 12th. South Korea at 13th. Japan at 14th. China at 15th. And India, as we said, 16th. So...
Where was the Philippines?
Hold on.
Not even in the top 50?
It didn't say.
That means it wasn't in the top 50.
I don't know.
Very, very low.
We'll have to go back and see. From the files of the adult conversation. You know, sometimes when we look at different things in dating, we talked about how people talk to each other like an animal. Speaking of that, a new dating theory that claims to share the formula for a successful relationship has gone viral. But experts have issued a warning about the advice, stating it could have the opposite effect. Anna Christina, a self-titled mindset coach, has amassed millions of views with a recent explanation of the black cat and golden retriever theory. It's based on the notion that, quote, women are never happy in their relationships and marriages if they end up chasing their man. So in order for a romance to last, the man and woman need to have very different characteristics. The key to mastering the dynamic, Christina reckons, is that women should behave like black cats who are apparently mysterious, aloof, and a femme fatale. Meanwhile, any man pursuing a black cat needs to be loyal, energetic, and doing all the chasing. While she didn't coin the theory, which first began being discussed on TikTok in June of last year, she's behind a recent rise in its popularity, having shared numerous videos on the topic. She said the best dynamic in a relationship, if you want it to last, is the one where she's the mysterious femme fatale black cat, and he's the loyal golden retriever, she explained in one viral video which has been seen over 6.5 million times. It's the women who needs to maintain the mystery, the independence. She serves herself first because the black cat comes and goes as she pleases. This pleases the golden retriever because he sits on the edge of his seat, still being intrigued by the black cat, always being interested and entertained because he feels like he never has a hold of her. She went on to claim that when reversed, the man is the black cat, he gets bored and has, quote, no sexual attraction. It becomes a relationship of convenience and the sex will drive down, resulting in him pulling away, she stated. This dynamic never works. If you're reading and thinking that it sounds familiar, you're not wrong. One said that the theory isn't new. It could actually be damaging your relationship. They said while using these kinds of comparisons could be a fun way to talk about relationships, it's pretty important to take a step back and think about those tropes more deeply. The whole concept oversimplifies the complex mix of personalities and dynamics that make up real relationships. The reason, and despite the glaring problem with the black cat golden retriever theory, it has taken off online with hundreds of videos amassing views and the tens of millions on TikTok. It's based on a rather disturbing notion that men need to chase down and secure a woman like a prize. Why it's taken off in 2024 when we're more aware of the toxic and misogynistic behaviors than ever? They said the idea really plays into some old school stereotypes about how men and women are supposed to behave, and its recent resurgence may be due to the popularity of one of the biggest stereotypical golden retriever boyfriends in pop culture, Taylor Swift's boyfriend, Travis Kelce. They say, that's not me. So they said nowadays we talk about relationships. The focus is more on seeing each person as their own unique self, with their own traits, needs, and what they're looking for in a partner. Dating apps like Bumble have had huge successes off this, challenging norms of how women are expected to behave when it comes to online dating. I think I already know your answer.
I want a puffer fish. There you go. There's my answer. I don't want a golden retriever. I want a puffer fish. Elusive, poisonous. Makes your tongue tingle when you bite into the, you know, after you kill it and use it as sushi. No, I just... I hate stereotypes. Okay, I don't hate stereotypes. Let's back that up. I understand the like where stereotypes come from, and I get that people don't be something you're not, okay? That's what it has to be. Your person will find you, and you will find your person. And when you do, it will feel right, even when everything is going wrong. Because they'll make you laugh, or they'll make you smile, or they'll be your security, or whatever the case may be. And I'm not going to tell you what they have to be for you, because what they have to be for you is completely up to you. Why am I listening to somebody say a black cat and a golden retriever? What if I want to be? What if I'm allergic to cats? Like, come on. I hate people like that sometimes. It's like a grr. Use your brains.
I thought you were going to meow. But yes. And then one last thing from the adult conversation files. I told you we had two studies tonight. You're going to love this one. So they came out with the most promiscuous countries in the world.
China.
No, it's not China. I will give you another guess. You're not going to get this out of three guesses, so your first guess is already wrong.
Most promiscuous?
Yep.
See, my first inclination would have, as much as I said China, I was being sarcastic, but... The first inclination would have been Brazil because of Rio, but I don't think that's right. And
you're wrong.
Canada.
Huh?
Canada, because there's not a lot of stuff going on up there.
No. The most promiscuous country on the planet, according to an Amoris analysis of the world's sexual habits, is Turkey.
Turkey?
The average Turk has slept with more than 14 people, according to the World Population Review, putting the naughty nation well above the United States. The average number of sexual partners can vary significantly from country to country, as cultural norms can have a significant impact on the number of people someone has sex with, according to the website, saying that the figures were comprised after compiling data sets from multiple third-party sources. Turkey's top spot may surprise some, given that more than 99% of residents are Muslim and the country is widely conceived to have traditional views when it comes to sex and relationships. But the list was full of a lot of sultry surprises. Countries thought to have more liberal views on sex, such as Brazil and France, were surprisingly low on the list. The average Brazilian has been at 9 people, putting the nation in 25th place. France, meanwhile, was far from frisky, clocking in 29th position. Citizens of that country have slept with an average of 8.1 people. After Turkey, Australia took second place on the lusty list, with the average Aussie having sex with more than 13 people over the course of their lifetime. Neighboring New Zealand came in at third, followed by Iceland and South Africa. The United States scored 13th place, with World Population Review saying that Americans sleep with an average of 10.7 people over the years. That has us tied with Canada, which also clocked the exact same stat. World Population Review data jives with research released last year by NAPLAB, which also found that Americans have slept with 10.7 people over the course of their lifetime. The least promiscuous countries in the World Population Review's list were China and India, with citizens sleeping with 3.1 and 3.0 people, respectively.
Well, there's
by the way, after South Africa came Finland, Norway, Italy, Sweden, and Switzerland.
Wow. Clear me surprised. I'm trying to think back into my sexual history. My long, illustrious sexual history of like 2 people.
Do you need some time, or are you good?
I need a tally here. I'm thinking about. I have bad memory. Did I sleep with that person? Is the question.
Take your time. We're gonna give you some thinking music.
This is amazing.
All right, time's up.
I'm below average.
Okay. All right.
We'll leave it at that. I'm below average.
Okay. Moving on. Oh, you wanted an answer from me. Oh. I will say you can leave that at your own imagination.
Oh, that's fine, Marie. I don't care.
No, I've just...
The ladies there might, though, the voice. Come on now.
You can leave it to your own imagination. It's, I would say, though, it ain't 13.1.
Right?
No, it's not 13.1.
I'm below the U.S. average. I should have said that.
Right. I was going to say... Probably U.S. average. I'll leave it at that. So, yes. But since we have a little bit of time tonight, I promised you that we would have at least a couple of things from the Smoking Gun Files. This story, of course, comes from Florida. Of course, what Smoking Gun Files...
Doesn't come from Florida.
Right. Could not include Florida. But a 20-year-old motorist who was recently caught going 199 miles per hour, Florida Road, has copped to a reckless driving charge, according to court records. Luis Lozano Figueroa entered a no-contest plea to the misdemeanor count during a court hearing last week. He was ordered to pay about $900 in fines and court fees, and he'll have to complete a 12-hour aggressive driving class. He was arrested in January when cops spotted a red 2016 Chevrolet Camaro engaging in a 1 a.m. street race along the Florida Turnpike in Orange County. He was driving the vehicle, and there were two passengers in the souped-up ride, a 19-year-old man and a 16-year-old. The posted speed limit was 70 miles an hour. When police searched the vehicle, they found an Insta 360 X3 action camera with a mounting stick inside the car, which is registered to his father. His parents live in St. Cloud, an Orlando suburb. Citing a mounted bracket on the Camaro's rear window, cops concluded that the camera was used to capture video for his Instagram. The car's license plate is TRLYY. His Instagram page includes photos of the Camaro, vacation snaps from Paris and Rome, that identifies him as a licensed insurance producer with a globe with a subsidiary Florida state records. It also shows him licensed last year to sell life, health, and accident insurance.
Of course.
However, he's not qualified to sell auto insurance.
I'm sure he isn't.
Yes. It almost sounds like a 20-year-old who utilized his parents' vehicle for joyrides, but 199, I wouldn't even want to be in that car.
No, I wouldn't either.
No, thanks.
I wouldn't either. No. And I enjoy, a friend of mine has a, what is that? Is that a Camaro SS, whatever that thing is? I don't know. It's a car. He had a car that, like, he just put his foot down lightly, and I was thrown back into the seat, and we were zeroed up. I think we were at 75 in very short period of time. And that made my heart race, and I had a big smile on my face. But almost 200 miles an hour? Nah, I'm good. Unless I am in the air traveling to some sunny destination where a beach and a fruity drink with an umbrella is waiting for me. No, thank you.
Right. And then a Missouri man, he's facing a felony theft charge for allegedly swiping 8, quote, luxury vibrators from an adult toy store and then trying to fence them, and then trying to fence them via Facebook Marketplace, according to court records. Christopher Michael Booth was named yesterday in a felony complaint, charging him with stealing the vibrators valued at a combined $1,539.20 from a Hustler Hollywood outlet in Berkeley, a St. Louis suburb. The toys, which retail for around $200 a piece, are manufactured by Lilo, which is a Swedish company that advertises itself as, quote, the world's leading designer brands for intimate lifestyle products. He allegedly took the vibrators from a display, placed them in a white trash bag, and raced out of the store. Employees told police they recognized the suspect because he had been in the store a day earlier and had argued with them before being asked to leave. The man, workers also recalled, had the number 314 prominently tattooed on his neck. 314 is the main St. Louis area code. Items consistent with those stolen from the store were later, quote, offered for sale on Facebook Marketplace under his Facebook profile, police allege. Then, of course,
I wonder if he listed them as used.
I hope not. I mean, they weren't, but I hope that they were new. And then, of course, the one story here that is takes them all, arguing that he was not subject to arrest, a Florida man told police that he was, quote, allowed to be drunk and disorderly and sit naked in the trash can on the public sidewalk, according to an arrest affidavit.
Oh,
St.
God.
Petersburg cops alleged that Wiley James Weeks, that's his name, W-Y-L-Y, was intoxicated, unsteady on his feet, and smelled of booze when they discovered him late Saturday on a downtown street. He was extricated, sans clothes, from a corner trash can and arrested for disorderly intoxication and resisting an officer without violence, both of which are misdemeanors. In addition to claiming that he could not be punished for his louche take on Oscar the Grouch, he said he did not have to provide officers with his name or demographics. Well, yesterday he pled guilty to both counts and was fined $520. His rap sheet overflows with theft, disorderly conduct, panhandling, criminal mischief, and other convictions. One of his prior busts came after weeks, after he and a male friend were spotted drunk and naked on a Tampa street after they exited a bar. The dual-toed cops, they thought it would be funny to strip off their clothes. Court and jail records alternately describe him as transient and a resident of Gulfport, which is a city bordering St. Petersburg.
Oh, Jesus.
This is when he likes to get drunk.
Jesus! Drunk and naked.
With that, I have no more to add, and I will say the clock on the wall is telling us it's just about time to go. With that, do you have any shout-outs for this week?
Surprisingly, no. I don't have any birthdays, but happy tax day coming up, everybody. Yay!
Yeah. That's a different show for a different time, and we're not even going to start on that one. But, yes, no shout-outs here tonight. Yeah, I have none. This is one of those odd weeks where there's no...
Birthdays, anniversaries, etc.
Well, here's one. My little sister's birthday is next week. So, happy birthday to her.
Happy birthday!
So, shout out to her. But yes, her birthday's next week. So, with that, though, I've got nothing else to add. And I want to thank all of you once again for, if you were able to listen to us last week, thank you. And if you're listening tonight, thank you. I do know that we had a caller, but unfortunately, because some people ruined it, we're not going to really take calls.
We're getting on LeVar to get into Twitch so that we could start taking comments that way.
You know what? I will say we'll work on it. I'm thinking in the next couple of weeks we'll do another Twitch show. We'll try to do it both at the same time as this show, I'm hoping. Or we'll take part of this show and then we'll do the other half on Twitch. So, yeah, I kind of like that idea. We'll kind of take some things over there and you guys can join us over there and listen as well. But be on the lookout for that. We'll do it. We'll give you plenty of time and we'll tell you where to go so that you can listen to the show. So, with that, I want to thank everyone for listening and remind you that you can catch this show not only here on Blog Talk Radio, but you can also catch it as a podcast where you get your podcast, whether that's iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple, or wherever you go. And as always, in closing, I want to not only thank you for listening, but tell you to be kind to each other and take care of yourselves and each other. Until next we meet, for Mary, I'm LeVar. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next Friday.
Bye!
Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.
Thanks for listening to Page One. Don't forget to get the latest show info on Twitter at @NewsCommentBTR and add us as a podcast on Apple, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and other platforms where we can be found.